Welcome to Intrepid Heroes, an actual play podcast of the Starfinder 2nd Edition playtest adventure, A Cosmic Birthday. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM.
I'm Scott, and I'm playing Zosra Shizori, a Patra Skirmisher operative who's looking for a new cause.
I'm Stephanie, and I'm playing Starchild, a Soki envoy full of energy from the Drift.
I'm Tim, and I'm playing Krizek Vare, a Warblood Vest soldier with a knack for violence.
I'm Mark. I'm playing Iswar, a Kasathan Graviton Solarian.
I'm John, and I'm playing Dr. Vic Dume, an android witchwarper seeking a lost reality.
I'm Ron, and I'm playing Jode, a human mystic looking to make the galaxy a better place.
And now, on to the episode. And welcome back to Intrepid Heroes' playthrough of the Starfinder 2E playtest adventure, A Cosmic Birthday!
Yay!
Hey! Hey! Oh! Yay! We don't have to cheer every single time, but I love it. Your enthusiasm.
Oh, we want to.
It is awake. I like that, Ron. I like that. When last we left our Intrepid Heroes, they had fought their way tooth and nail through a bank security corridor, being blasted to heck and back by a security robot, only to find that the vault that they were here to steal from has already been stolen from. A massive hole in the vault floor from below it reveals that someone has taken all the trash, all the stuff within, and has scampered away through sort of access tunnels just underneath the floor of this level's floor of this level of the space station. Mm-hmm. We're still here. As when we pick up where we left off, we did a little bit of patching up. Do you want to do any more patching up before you follow the trail of little bits and bobs that will lead you deeper somewhere else to hopefully find the miscreants who stole the stuff you were here to steal?
I have to. I can't function if I go forward at this.
So, Ron, it's been like
pain.
Say it's been about 20, 30 minutes, so you could have refocused at least once in that time if you want to have done that.
Okay.
Because Dr. Dume was patching people up with his medicines.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I can do, in addition to getting the infusion focus spell back every time, is that whenever I refocus now, I get my whole vitality network, which is 14 points back. Oh. And then I spend them, and then when I refocus, I get all that back again. Nice. So I actually have, some pretty good amount of healing I can spread around.
Okay. All right. Why don't we just sort of hand wave it? Well, how many hit points are you down there?
I'm down 14. Okay. So the pool would
four.
Bring me back.
Same.
Yeah. Okay. But you can also basically cast infusion like 3 times
every 10 minutes
essentially. Yep. And half an hour. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I will say, well, we do this. Starchild, you're no longer wounded. Zosra.
Yay.
Okay, so here's the thing. You don't get rid of the wounded condition until you've had your wounds treated via treat wounds, not just necessarily getting your hit points up through magical healing, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought it was when you were healed to full.
Let me double check that.
Actually, I just had
treat wounds
on.
Or healed to full.
Oh, healed to full. Yeah. Okay. Or first of all, and rest for 10 minutes. So yeah. So basically, if you do that, someone does that,
okay,
you can sit down. You can have the wounded
that.
Condition. Well, you got your wounds treated there, Steph. You got your wounds definitely treated by someone.
So
Vic Dume did that.
So,
Vic, yeah.
Thank
yes.
You.
A little critical. Okay. So we will,
nice.
And you're down 4 hit points, Ron. So I think within 30 minutes, you can maybe give yourself that back too as well.
Yeah.
So we'll hand wave all that away so we don't have to roll the dice too much. And just,
do I get some too?
Yes. I've got you too.
Oh, there you go. Thanks.
Right. Yeah. And just remind you all that you've gotten another hero point this bad. So
wonderful.
Do you follow do you cramp down into these sort of 3-foot tall corridors and make, you know, kind of crouch crab your walk your way through this through, or do you want to do something else?
I think the passageway might have more clues as to, I mean, if they were lazy enough to leave a pickle wrapper up top, maybe there's more clues they've left that might help us find who they are.
Or actual pickles.
Mm-hmm. I mean, or actual pickles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least then we're not coming away empty handed. Yeah, I think we should follow the tunnel.
The real treasure is the pickles we found along the way.
That's true.
Well, you don't find any pickles, but you do find a trail of bits and bobs that I've will represent of about 30 credits worth of UPBs and other sort of precious materials, right? And I've put that in your party stash. Now, if you go to the little person icon, the actor's icon, and click on the sheet that's next to the word "the party," you'll see an overview of everyone's stuff, how many hero points everyone has, and if you click on stash, you'll see stuff that's sort of stashed, and anyone can grab something from the stash and put it in their character sheet if they wish.
Okay.
Well, that's fancy.
Stash.
Okay. But it's just that sort of kind of in everywhere. Yeah. Sort of like for everyone in there so we know what hasn't been claimed and that kind of stuff. A good loot sheet. Mm-hmm. You pick your way through, again, sort of maybe successively picking this stuff up as you go, and it kind of twists around, and you definitely can tell, those of you who are familiar with the station, been here a couple times, are heading close to the bulkhead, right?
Outside Absalom Station?
I mean, not fully outside. You're getting close to the edge of Absalom Station, let's say.
Right? Okay.
You can kind of, so you're heading in that direction, right?
Okay.
And you kind of actually go down. There's a little bit of a climbing down a little bit, but heading sort of in the creeping through the darkness.
Not ghost levels down, but down.
Not ghost levels. Yeah, but ghost levels, remember, being like kind of almost extra dimensionally away.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Right.
But there's stuff in the spike of Absalom Station. You're not getting that far down. Little Akaton is kind of off to the side. Okay. I would like whoever's in, you got to go single file. Who's in the lead?
I could go first since I'm smallest.
Possibly dark vision. Somebody with dark vision that can see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like you're volunteering.
I think I do also have.
Oh, this. You have two stars.
No, mine has low light. So yeah, if somebody with dark vision wants to go first,
I have it. I'd be fine going first, or somebody else has it. That I just think it's probably safer to have someone that can see. Or you can take a light with you, too.
No,
we could actually have light.
Well, at least one of you has got to have some light, because not everyone has. So people need to see.
I've got a flashlight. I've been using it.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, then it just depends on who you want up front.
That's what I'm asking.
That's why I'm asking. I will do it if no one else does.
Yeah, will you mind taking a lead, Zosra? And that way
I could get
a little better visibility
or something. I'll try and be a bit stealthy while I'm going to.
You've got a lean, cat-like frame, Zosra, so you're sort of pawing your way forward. I want you to make for me a perception check, please.
Something that I can do.
Yes.
And I know I can do this at some point.
And here it comes. Right.
Here comes the thing that I can do.
Here comes
because it's under a different thing than skills.
That is an attribute if you're using
it's
the
attributes,
HUD.
Yeah.
And it's not initiative, it's regular.
Not the initiative, perception. It's regular perception.
Yes. Unless I want to start something. You know what I'm saying?
We'll see. Right.
Something.
My mediocre roll continues.
You haven't rolled over a 10 on the, I think, on the D20 all night.
No.
This
thanks for reminding him.
Wait,
I think, you know.
D20, I'm rolling D10s. Okay, well, there's
that explains
the problem right there.
So much.
It's an operative, it's been nerfed.
You creep your way forward. And you get to sort of what you think is sort of like the getting close to the end of the line. Because you begin to hear voices. Maybe even like some people someone singing.
Oh,
kind of like a very lilting kind of. You can't quite make out the words quite yet because there's a little bit, but you
I
get
might
a little
not want to
the yeah. There is kind of like a grate at the end of the sort of access, which is a little bit askew, kind of maybe hanging off like a single screw or something like that, and you're looking out onto a weirdly sort of like it's a docking bay of sorts, but it's like a makeshift. One would say hidden, like almost like a smuggler's docking bay, right? That it's currently closed, right? But it has a ship parked in it. There are three catwalks that sort of like lead up to it from where the you know, it sort of splits off like a trident from the access point, right? Actually, there's the access tunnel that you come into goes on to a spot where they branch off, and then the tunnel the catwalks also go away from the spaceship that's docked there as well, right? It's leading to probably a way to get to this that's not through these access tunnels. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, our sneaky tunnel is not the only way here.
Yes, it would seem that way.
More importantly, we can leave a different way if we want to.
Yes, we don't actually have to sneak back through the main tunnel.
Oh, dark.
I'm gonna put you on a dark space. Scott, I'm going to put you on the map so you can see.
Okay.
Basically what you're looking at. So you're on the middle catwalk now. I'll just put you on there for that purpose. But you can be on, you can kind of, for vision purposes, you can kind of look down and see kind of like, you can, if you want to come up any one of these three. And then you can see this spaceship, this small rinky-dink kind of spaceship. It looks like it's crafted out of four or five other sorts of models of spaceships, just sort of welded together haphazardly.
Okay. So I'll give the standard three, and then point to myself and do the little walk with my fingers. So three catwalks. And spaceship.
It makes a bunch of gestures.
Nobody understands them.
Which no one knows what they're saying.
No idea what you're talking about.
So then I just whispered them to you.
20 feet away behind you anyway. Right. You, whatever this sort of singing is coming from, obviously the spaceship.
Okay, so I'll just relay this through the comms quietly. The spaceship here looks very bungled together. I hear singing from it. There's mm-hmm. some catwalks down below. It looks like this is sort of a hidden area. I think I don't see anyone else moving right now, so I think we can safely drop onto the catwalk and possibly investigate.
Slowly and carefully head out.
Okay. Yeah. When you guys drop down on here, I just want to, so I put you on the map. Which of the three catwalks do each of you want to be on?
Because I did tell you there were three.
Yeah, left, right, or middle, basically. Where do you want to begin? The sort of. Whatchamacallit, the thing that comes down the walkway,
the gangplank,
thank you, the spaceship is sort of closer to the left hand right. one, so it's possible that, you know, you'd be closer to it, but it's possible someone in the spaceship would be able to see you a little bit better, right?
I think we start, I would recommend starting from the middle and right.
Yeah, I want to go in the middle if that's going to put me closest kind of to everybody. That last fight against the robot, I found myself sort of out of range of doing a lot of stuff, so I'm going to put myself more centrally, which I think means middle catwalk right now.
I would like to be on the far right one, just because I'd rather be ranged than up front.
Sure.
How far apart are the catwalks? Can we tell?
The catwalks are about 10 feet apart from each other, and each of the catwalks is 10 feet wide.
Okay. I'll stick with Joe to the middle catwalk.
Alrighty. But don't.
Aha. I can actually see something now.
Yeah.
I will too. I'll go with the middle.
Okay.
Do we have to go single file on these?
No, they're 10 feet wide. So,
I'll stay in the middle. I don't think we should split the party.
Well, the party is going to be a little split because Zulstra's on the right hand side. So they're not that far apart. I'll just put you down. If anyone wants to change what they want to do, feel free to say. Once you've seen the map.
Yeah. They end up at the same place anyhow.
Yeah. So if anyone, now that you can see the map, if there's anyone wants to shuffle around, let me know. No, you're all good?
I'm going to be here instead.
That's fair.
Or maybe towards the front.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
Nice.
And we're traveling north on the map, essentially?
Yeah, you're traveling sort of north. This is the spaceship up here. You can see the gangplank. You can all now hear the sort of singing. It's actually very tuneless, and it doesn't even actually seem to have words. It's just sort of like nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of hear someone yell a slightly more feminine voice, but the same kind of weird timber. Quiet!
Is all this coming from inside the ship or on speakers, or what are we?
No, inside the ship, sort of wafting out of the down the gangplank.
Okay.
Quiet! Me trying to count! Oh, sorry, spicy sweet.
I think we should convince them that that's not their money and we're here to confiscate it.
Fair enough. I'll walk up to the gangplank and say, excuse me, my friends.
Bip, everyone just hold on a second. Okay. I'm going to stop you right there. I'm actually going to stop you right there.
They have precautions.
Excuse me, my friends.
So you begin walking up to the end of the where the catwalk sort of all sort of meet. And you get to there, Jode, right? When you realize that you've basically just triggered a tripwire.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
And let's see here. What is this? Okay. I need you to make a reflex save.
Oh,
wait, a what?
A reflex save. Give me a reflex save, please.
It's in the chat. If you just click on it, it'd be great.
Well, that's not good. That's only
I'm not. It's not my strength, to be perfectly honest. But you know what? I've got a hero point that I want to spend, and maybe at the last second, I spot it and move.
That's a good call.
Yes.
Yes.
And if I can do, how do I get a hero point?
If you right click on the result, it'll bring up a little menu.
On the result number.
And the number itself, and should
reroll using a hero point.
Yeah.
That's much better.
Only a little bit better.
Into a nat 20.
Critical success.
Critical success.
So, you trip a tripwire, right? Mm-hmm. And for a second, you're like, everyone catch, and maybe even the people right behind you kind of see it. You hear something go clink, and then below you. So this, on top of these catwalks, there's eventually what's below you is maybe about 15 feet down, where it's just sort of like bulkhead, right? And struts and whatnot that are the sort of exterior of the station. You all hear you and see a little explosion down there as whatever it is just fell and dropped. And exploded far enough away from you. However, that does sort of clearly like it's audible, right?
It makes
a bit of a noise, you know, and it sort of echoes through this sort of makeshift space dock. And one of some people's like, "Oh, sorry, spicy sweet. Wait, what was that?"
At which point, I speak in the song of my people. I sing the song of my people. Meow. It's just an alley cat.
Are you saying that, Ron?
Yeah, because I came up in order to talk. That was the plan. I'm like, we just want to talk. Me and my cat.
Well done. All right, I'm going to show you all who this is. It is a space goblin. You're sort of classic goblin, dressed in sort of old ratty kind of like freebooter type armor, right? He's got himself though like a cybernetic implant in one eye and clearly like one point a metal plate on his head, but he's carrying and pointing at you a Gatling gun, a roto laser, so to speak.
Yes.
And he's just like, who be you?
Oh, we're
and he can see all of you, obviously. He's like, spicy sweet, we got visitor.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a few visitors here. My name's Antholomew Jode. We've come about, well, no mincing words. We've come about the bank job.
Ha! No. Me don't know what you're talking about.
Well, we went to the bank in order
to withdraw. Here for the stuff we stole. He literally turns and shouts that into the order after he says he doesn't know what you're talking about.
We went to withdraw funds for, I don't know, somehow withdrawing funds for orphans was mentioned. It's really important that we recover this money for some good orphan helping fellow. And, I think that if you can just turn over what you took from the bank, everything will be just fine. Nobody has to get hurt.
This other space goblin appears behind this guy who just shouted into the thing as you're talking. Smacks him upside the back of the head, basically with the butt of her gun, kind of like, idiot! She is wearing kind of like a flight helmet, right? Mm-hmm. With goggles on top, placed on top, not on her eyes at this moment. Right. And she's got, I don't know, what is that? Some sort of weird looking bazooka that's got a face painted on it. All of it looks kind of cobbled together. And he kind of like sheepishly steps back and steps behind her, and she steps down onto the edge of the platform and says, as you're saying, talking about orphans, we not know nothing about orphans.
No, that's fair. I can tell just by the quality of your ship and your equipment that you're all very poor. So I understand your desire to rob in order to make some money. But the problem is that money is supposed to go to some orphans.
We not steal nothing. Grumpus not know what he's talking about.
But that's what he said. He just yelled it to you.
No. You misheard.
Oh,
okay, well, how?
How do you explain this then? And they hold up the empty pickle wrapper.
She turns around and smacks this guy in the face again.
Left at the scene of the crime.
You're snacking. Ooh, sorry, spicy sweet. Tim, I see you measuring distance. Let me know if you want to do anything.
Why don't we split the proceeds from the bank? What do you think about that? We can probably come up with some fair percentage on either side if we just negotiate this.
Like a finder's fee for you to thankfully open it up and pull it out, and then a returner's fee for us because, well, we were sent to withdraw it.
She's kind of looking at all of you. Ron, give me a diplomacy check.
Okay.
You're good at that, right?
Her eyes are quite narrowed. Well, we'll find out.
We will find out.
I do have a second hero point if needed, I suppose. So.
You'll maybe wonder why we didn't invite Starchild to talk to these guys.
Yeah, Starchild is actually the better diplomat.
It's not terrible.
11, that's not terrible, but I can get, I will spend my other hero point.
Are you sure?
All right, okay.
Yeah.
It's gutsy.
Not with the Keeley rule.
You're going to get, you're guaranteed to at least not get worse.
Right. That's, it's a little
that's
better.
That's true.
A little bit better.
That's worth it.
19.
That's our goal. A little bit better.
A little bit better. She folds her arm across her chest. Although it makes the bazooka kind of poke out weirdly. And then she stops that because it's too awkward. And she says,
You realize that anybody investigating will find the hole. Like
50-50. We be long gone before anyone else show up. 50-50.
How much are we expecting to get back? I will turn my back to her and ask my friend, how much were we expecting to get back? Is 50% okay? Sounds like 70% is more what we need.
We smack you in the back of the head.
Oh.
Why are you saying that in front of them?
Yeah.
Were we given a certain amount to recover?
No, we were not.
It was just sort of get the stuff out of there because it's the people who live in Little Akatons. It's their stuff. It's their stuff in a safe deposit box. And stuff
right,
like
and it was locked down. They weren't able to get to it.
Yeah, and it was locked down because of malfunctions.
There's more of us, so I think we need more.
No. We got. And she turns and looks into the cockpit and turns back and says, "Me got," and then count, and then stops again, counts the lot of you, turns back and looks into the cockpit again, and then says, "Me got 7.
No,
I don't believe you.
50-50. No,
we have 3, you have 7. So 70-30. 7 of us versus the 3 of you. 70-30 is fair for everybody.
She then counts you again. Only 6 of you.
Didn't I mention my cat?
I count 2.
Oh, yeah. our friend here counts as 2.
Oh, well, then our big guy counts as 3. So we got eight.
Right, but you all count as half.
That's right. So you're down to four.
Then she points at Starchild. Only counts as half then too.
No, we go by arms on that one.
She got the same number of arms as me. You're thinking of a Skittermander, I know it.
We all.
I have more arms.
Okay, but what you're also not considering is how many friends I have. When he says arms, he means the way in which I have a reach across this whole starship. And if I wanted to, I could just turn on my little data pad here, and we could be broadcasting this to, I don't know, we could have lots of eyes on our negotiations here.
Or you could be famous.
Now,
do you want to be famous?
Steph, that vaguely sounds like you're trying to be intimidating by being very
sure
friendly.
Am.
So, all right, then give me an intimidation check on that.
All right, that did the
despite the friendly tone of your voice, that was okay. That was very that was a very much was like I've got a lot of Instagram followers. I'll just
we can just broadcast I'm just gonna go ahead and
master your face you. All over the net there.
Yeah, your arms reach everywhere.
That's right. Those kinds of arms. Okay. There we go.
Nice.
No, 22. Yeah, very good. 22.
Not bad.
Spicy Sweet here is when you're saying that she's saying no pictures. backs into the spaceship.
Someone's pushing me. So intimidating. Maybe I should have been
No. You hear muttering. Spicy Sweet comes out with like two sort of pilfered looking safety deposit boxes, right? You know, they're like twice the size of a shoebox kind of size, right? And she kind of dumps out, she kind of drags them and drags them at the top and the bottom. She says, 70. And she drops them down.
Alrighty. Great. Thank you.
I think maybe we could help you count them because you were, you know, it was taking a while. Maybe we could help you count
Insight
all of them.
How honest is she being?
Give me a perception check.
How many safe deposit boxes do we see?
How do I do that without it being initiative? Because the only place I see perception is under
it's under your attributes.
If you keep going down all those initiatives, it'll then just say perception.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Got its own. It's just between that saves. As well.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all trying to figure them out. Oh, gosh, I don't know a thing.
Seen some great rolls here. Rolls here.
Looks like all of them to me.
Great rolls.
Oh, my gosh. Mine didn't work for some reason.
Yeah, mine didn't work.
It might have run out of pop-up.
Try that again.
Try again.
Yeah, it does have a pop-up.
There we go.
How about that?
Well, that being said, those of us that didn't...
Whoa.
Right. Don't
you're
know
like all ready to go and grab the stuff.
No, that's fine.
And Starchild are like... you don't know how much you were meant to go get, so you don't know how much this stuff is. And so far, she's not been like necessarily, you know, she stole from... She's a bank robber. She's probably not very trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's though closing the door of the spaceship. Bye-bye.
Let's talk about this.
We need to see all of it.
She's basically closed the door and
go stop that door.
I mean, we got a lot, right?
Did we?
I think we got.
Or are those actually like grenades in
or
safe
did
deposit
we?
Oh, look, it's all empty wrappers.
Krychek, you've moved up to the edge of the gangplank, which is basically you feel kind of shaking a little bit. They're trying to pull it in underneath the bulkhead of the door, which really isn't going to work because otherwise the bulkhead would not be
airtight. Can we move up here without triggering something? I would have done
it
that.
It seems that way.
Okay.
All right, so in order to pry the door open, is that athletics?
Yeah, give me an athletics. Are you jamming your Dushko in there and put it, or are you just using your hands?
Oh, my hands.
All right, just grab me the clawed fingers, getting right
give
in
the claw
scene.
Again.
Give me the claw again. Give me an athletics check. You know, again, this spaceship is not the sort of very well built, so it's all got right. kind of enough cracks and whatnot.
Oh, that's
12. Kind of but it is a spaceship.
Yeah, it is.
Right. So it's sort of meant to be space worthy. So it's kind of, you can't quite, you're trying to pull it open. Can't quite get
I'm gonna
it.
I'm going
to
do a hero point.
Okay, hero point. And with a burst of strength.
Oh, same.
Well, no, we get the plus 10. Remember, don't forget. No, okay. So it's actually going to be
right.
10 more, exactly. you pry it open enough to see, you know, actually, she's not right there. She's kind of backed up. But one of the other goblins is trying to, like, grab the, pull up the plank, essentially. Whereas she's yelling at the, there's a goblin's a pilot seat, and she's yelling, you know, she's just like gesturing for him to start up the spaceship and get out of there. There are, from where you can see, a couple more, like, this is not 70%. Two is not 70% of how much they gave. There's like five or six other safety deposit boxes sort of in the back here.
Yeah.
In this bus like spaceship.
I don't think you're being honest.
And then I'm gonna punch him.
You cheated. Okay.
yep.
Give me a strike roll. Yep.
All right.
Oh, nat 20.
Very nice.
All right. Nice. Roll that damage. Let's see what happens.
All right.
You could kill him.
something here. You haul off and punch this guy in his big football-shaped goblin head, right?
For 12
points. You're going for a punch. You're not necessarily going for, like, you know, clawing his throat or anything like that. You're really just actually more or less just trying to, like, get him.
I mean, no, he's fed up.
Okay, so maybe this is more of a
he grabs a his head, like grabs his football head, and then bashes it against the.
Well, you know, because you're technically doing slashing damage. So maybe you're just like you grab his head and kind of like rake your claws across his face, right? He screams, blood pouring off his face, and just passes out. You haven't killed him fully, but he is out, right? You kind of essentially kind of. Well, maybe he's sort of feigning it, but he's just like, and falls down to the ground, just blood everywhere. I'm going to make him unconscious.
That's like most Kryzek clarification. You haven't killed him fully.
He might bleed out. He might bleed to death, but he is definitely, you know, out of the fight. If there is a fight. But then, I'm trying to think which... She is not... Yeah, she's cowed. They're both cowed at that, I think. What do the two of you at the gangplank want to do? Krychek and Esquire.
I'm going to board it.
Yeah, going in.
Okay.
Make sure we get our fair 70%.
Yeah, just grab the money.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll step in.
Maybe they'll learn to be a little more honest next time.
Maybe do a little intimidation. Like Joe said,
it's not like they're
wealthy. Sure, yeah, give me an intimidation check too.
Okay. Mm. I don't know if I get a bonus for
you're probably better
mauling me.
You know, maybe. maybe I'm calculating that in my head.
Okay.
Nice. You rolled a 19 on the dice too. Ooh, great. Yeah. So
he basically just throws like, give me the money.
Are you taking all of the safety deposit boxes?
I am now.
Okay, fair enough. What follows is a comical scene. Where the two of you barge in, and maybe anybody else is just grabbing all the safety deposit boxes, while Spicy Sweet is maybe at Krychek trying to occasionally just kind of like running up and kind of like trying to grab at them. No, we stole fair. And then you turn and glare at her, and she falls down, right? And it kind of like goes back and forth that way. Is the you know, it doesn't take long for if all of you kind of pile in to grab up. And again, there's like six more safety deposit boxes in there. And both of them look a little too terrified out of their minds to open fire, right? The guy the pilot's console hasn't reached for his roto laser, and she is just like occasionally, maybe you want to watch her and she's like putting a grenade into the grenade launcher and then realizing she's inside her spaceship and then she can't really fire in there and then stopping and then going and then thinking about it again and going, oh, maybe no. But again, it only takes like maybe like 3 or 4 minutes for you to like grab everything and get on out.
Okay.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Without having
any pickle chips with them.
Oh yeah, there's obviously a bunch of like food wrappers everywhere. If you want it, like there's maybe a couple stashes of McGurk's brand freeze dried pickle chips. If you want to grab one on the way out, is one of the last things you do, just as a complete middle finger.
They're just beloved.
Like,
by God.
Slowly look at her like.
That's the Baja Blast flavor. Oh, my favorite.
And then grinds them up in the dust and then drops
them. Just crush them. He's like, pop the bag with your hand. Just eat one and then just let the rest of them crumble to the ground. And, both of them kind of die for them. And they're like grabbing and eating them, snuffling them up. Oh, no, this one's still good. Okay, so you grab all that stuff.
Right. Yeah, without looking inside at all, I'll look at you guys and say, you left them their 30%, right? We're only taking what we negotiated, right?
Negotiations right. Changed. I'm bored. Izzy has like four of them tucked under his arm.
Yeah, able to carry a bunch of them at once. Again, these catwalks kind of converge in a little bit to the south of here, and then head to a sort of a corridor that goes somewhere else. Are you just heading out that way? Or you want to crawl your way through to the ducts?
Nope, we'll go out.
There's okay. No reason for us to take the same way back, I don't think.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Dignified.
come through there. It's a corridor, at least to this corridor that's very disused, very dusty. If space stations can get dusty, I'm not really sure. But clearly disused. The lights aren't really working too well. For a brief moment, you're like, oh no, did we accidentally walk into the ghost levels again? But then, you get to a bulkhead kind of situation, not an exterior one, but one that sort of looks like a secret door, right? But from this side, you can tell what it is and kind of push it open and then come out in a basement of one of the buildings in Little Akaton and sort of come out and you realize, you're not too far. You're actually basically at the border of Little Akaton. And you think that if you really wanted to, you could get back into these tunnels and get out of Little Akaton. Like, you're not necessarily confined. I mean, if you got caught sort of crossing the quarantine line, that might be a problem. But, these are sort of like access tunnels that if you wanted to, you could kind of sneak around.
Mm-hmm.
Do you head back to Knick Knack? Do you just start opening stuff up and looking for people's names and distributing goods, or do you want the Isoki's help with that?
Do we really believe that the Isoki is going to give this stuff back?
Doubtful.
Yeah, if people have proper identification, I think we should just dole it out.
Okay, so you set yourself up on a street corner, basically, and start asking random strangers if they have stuff in the bank?
Who asked us to do this?
No, the mechanic is the one that asked us to do it. We should go back to the mechanic.
Yeah. Let's go back to the mechanic.
Well, some people don't trust him, apparently.
I don't really think he's legitimately going to be handing out at least cash.
Well, we can watch him then. Come on.
Yeah, let's not leave. Let's...
Well, let's ask, because he is from Akaton, so he would know how best to relate to people here, right? So,
well, assuming that's his... That's his. Well, no, I mean, that's what he's telling us.
I would like to check with him to see what his thoughts were on how to redistribute, but not hand over the stuff to him.
Okay, we got some stuff. How do we want to do it? And he's my contact, too. I mean, he's the one that was recommended to me to.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
That's true.
So, I can't really back out on the deal. That would.
I've been around here some. This is an area that I come.
Wasn't I recommended? to go check him out. Yes, for eye contact.
Your Vesk friend said, you know, Knickknack might have a something for you to do while you were there. So the two of you kind of like, not necessarily, you know, friend of a friend's kind of situation, both of you, you know, so whether or not you fully trust him. But if you want to, you can head back to the scrapyard and find Knickknack again in his little Knickknack shack and listen to his, you know, Akatonian thrash metal. But then he's like, hey, you're back. How'd it go?
Hey. Not as planned.
We got the stuff, man.
It was a little tougher than we expected, to be honest.
Ran into a few glitches.
Yeah, that's why it was
an adventure. Anyway.
And some space goblins.
Whoa, space goblins. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, they stole it before we got there. Exactly. Like, the reason that it was all, like, shut down and everything was because there was actually this big bank robbery and this heist, and it was these space goblins, and then we got the stuff back.
Those grappling space goblins. All right. But you got it. You got everything. You found them.
Yes. Well. Yes, we did.
Yeah, we renegotiated a few times, but we got what was fair.
And, yeah, especially fair to us. Very broadly. Yeah. And, like... cleaning the blood off of his claw.
Nice. So we were interested in your thoughts about how to get these back to the right people. Because, you know, if there's something to be grabbed, then there's a lot of hands to grab it.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I totally know what you're saying. I've got something planned. I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to like it. We're going to have a party.
A party?
Yeah. I love parties.
Wait. Yeah.
Is this a cosmic?
Like a cosmic birthday
party? A cosmic birthday party? Well, it's not anyone's birthday. I mean, I guess you could say that these goods have been reborn into the world. They're people's possessions, I guess. Rebirthday? Okay. I don't know. It's just a block party. We got a just down the street. I know the people, you know, who work there. We're just going to have a little block party and have some fun. Then I'll introduce us around to some of the people who are looking for the stuff, and you know, they can take it.
And do we have ways to identify who belongs to what and what belongs to who?
Yeah, I know the people. Then they can have the stuff. They can have their stuff back.
And I think as long as we're not seeing the same people over and over wearing like a fake mustache and one walkthrough and a hat for the other,
This is, I mean, it's a big neighborhood, but it's a little neighborhood. You know what I mean? People will know if anyone's got
each other, and they know.
I think at this point, everyone knows. Give me another perception check.
But I'm favorable towards him, so.
Fair enough. I mean, he sounds like he's a stand-up guy, right? He did this out of the goodness of his heart. And I wanted to make sure that Krychek, you feel the same way. I want to make sure that you guys aren't compensated for your time and your efforts for what you just did there and going above and beyond getting rid of the space goblins. I think, you know, the people I've got some time and then we'll pass the hat around, basically. And people can donate whatever they like, and then it'll be all yours. Does that sound good?
That sounds really generous.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, you know, we like to look out for people who help us around here. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like an hour.
Maybe I can donate
mine
back to the orphans that Joe was talking about.
Orphans. We got kids around here. Maybe one or two of them is an orphan. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I can finally throw that party that I was supposed to do at the little Akaton community center.
The community center, sure. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, do that good there, idea.
We'll at the community center. We'll have it at the community center. Let's do it.
Oh, that sounds great.
There, we'll have the party there. Everyone can come by. Everyone loves the community center. It's great.
Don't we have to have it on a block? You said it was a block party. I don't...
It's going to be a block. I was going to say we do it outside the block party. People can grill and whatever. But, you know, if we can get the community center, that's also good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't actually have block parties in this.
Well, I was saying I could even have like a kids party at the community center after the block party or something, but maybe not like today, maybe like next week. Right. I was just thinking like, you know, if they contribute money to us and I'd want to reinvest it in the community kind of thing.
Oh, and then video it, right? You're going to video it, I'm sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, as much as they want me to. You know, some people don't, like the goblins. Totally didn't.
You need everybody to sign video releases.
Yeah. It's like a couple hours later, you know, Nick-Nack goes off and starts chatting, and he basically brings you to this, you know, it's kind of think about it as like, you know, like an In the Heights kind of moment. Like there are these sort of like tenement-y kind of buildings here. While they're still kind of still futuristic and steel, they're also a little bit run down here in Little Akaton. And also, you know, clotheslines kind of stretched between them, with garments of all sizes and shapes sort of hanging, right? And everyone else is just, it's got that sort of street fair, you know, block party atmosphere. A lot of the people have shown up. Someone's maybe spinning some tunes off of a speaker. People are grilling on the streets, you know, pulling out some grills on the streets. Maybe someone's got some other sorts of tables with drinks on them, or, you know, coolers with ice in them. There's like a little grassy area where there's some kids playing, and it, you know, it's pretty good. Until you spend there and you get introduced to a bunch of people who are thankful that you you know, did what you want, and Nick-Nack's making sure that everyone gets their stuff. It does seem pretty above board. He's like he knows everyone by name and says, "Oh, you got the thing." And it's like, "Yeah, I'm looking, you know, the stuff in my, you know, safety deposit, you know, B7," and you grab that one. And as a matter of fact, people, you know, generally would have to have some sort of like, you know, key to a safety deposit, but their safety deposit box, and you use their, they use their key, and then the bank would use their, you know, sort of key. It looks like these are like maybe biometrically locked for, or no, they're probably not. They're probably electronically locked for the, since it's an automated system. But as long as the person who comes in with their key kind of opens up their lock and verifies that it's theirs, essentially every time that happens, Nick-Nack breaks the other half of the lock, opens up the safety deposit box, and gives them their stuff back.
Sweet.
Some of them were a little bit already broken, and you're able to sort of like sort out some of the stuff that got maybe dumped into one by the goblins. So you know, it's a convivial atmosphere, and if you want to help out distributing the goods, you you can do so. I'll just throw this out now. That all told, when the night is done, we're going to do a little some interactions with some people here. But when the night is done, Nick-Nack comes over and it's like, "Hey, everyone, you know, saying we pass the hat around. Everyone sort of chipped in, and we all want you to have this." And he hands you a cred stick that has 400 credits on it.
Oh yeah!
Nice.
Oh wow!
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll help.
So yeah, so a big communal meal. What does everyone? Does anyone want to like talk to any like? Do anything in particular here, or are you just sort of like hanging out? There's like all types of people here. You spot this like older looking Vesk fella. Looks like he's probably a soldier of some kind, and he's got like what is essentially a it almost looks like a tiny like a gun, but it's just really super tiny. And every once in a while, there's like a fly comes buzzing around the food, and he shoots it out of the sky. A little bolt of electricity. He's like, ha, 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 ha. Every time it's like a peal of laughter. I've forgotten the native Akatonian humans, or I think they're called like Hilki, the red skinned. Akatonian humans.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of those people and you know, little kids who are look like they're in this little grassy area, kind of like kicking around a kind of like half deflated ball of some kind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At one point, there's this android comes by wearing an apron that says Sunny Six's Diner on it with a big sun logo. Big smiling sun logo, and they come in and just sort of like plop down a tray of sticky buns.
Oh, for people nice. To grab.
Right. All right, yeah. I will take a sticky bun.
It's clear that they were baked, you know, earlier this morning, so they're not like the freshest, but they're not like stale or anything at that point. They're clearly what didn't get sold that day.
Nice.
And more importantly, they're free.
And they're free, yeah. Everyone's sort of getting them then.
Very important, yes.
Starchild? Is that you?
Yeah.
Start of your turn, it's Joya. What's her last name? Joya Mullen, who is the head of the community center, who we were out stuff for. If you haven't talked to him. Oh, there you. Oh my God, my dear. I've been so worried about. Oh, let me show you her.
Oh, I have had quite the misadventure, I have to say. And I'm so sorry that I didn't make it to the party and the balloons got ruined, but we're going to set it all back up and it's going to be great. And
well, yes.
How have you all been? Were you affected by that whole thing where it was like shorted out and it was so weird?
Oh my goodness. Yes. We're postponing the party because of all this and all the lockdowns happened. So this woman, she's got the red skin, hilky, shock of white hair. She's clearly an older woman, maybe like in her like 50s or so, but it fairly, well-dressed for the little Akaton neighborhood where most people are just kind of wearing like casual clothes. She's basically, it's not quite designer good. Maybe it's like off the rack designer dress that she's wearing and fairly nice earrings. But she definitely looks put together like, definitely that kind of a very put together older woman. Here's the old Vesk soldier who's shooting flies. clearly, got that sort of beard of spikes and whiskers seemingly almost growing out of his face. And who else? Oh, here's the android who comes and drops off the sticky buns.
Nice.
Joya continues. Oh, no, yeah, we're going to postpone the party a little bit so we can have that later. Once the lockdown is lifted. Again, it was scary. What happened to you?
We got thrust down to the ghost levels.
What? No, that's a urban legend.
Oh, not even. It was wild. And I tell her all the story, but of course at a very like scattershot.
Right, yeah, yeah. Right, fair enough. Wow. Oh, wow, amazing. Oh, that's just remarkable, Starchild. Remarkable. I'm glad you're safe, though. I'm glad you're safe. And you're here. You're back here, which is good.
I know. We're back here. It's so great. And it looks like things are kind of back to normal.
A little bit, yeah.
Almost,
a little bit.
Right?
We're getting
people
by.
People hurt?
Not really, no. I think we all managed to avoid any kind of harm. Just a little scared. A little frightened.
Very
about what
scared.
Happened.
Yeah, have you heard anything? We keep hearing it is awake, like various places. And do you know what they're talking about?
No, it doesn't sound. No, that's so strange. I haven't heard. No, there was. That's not true. The screen. And she's pointing up at the sky, which is now, which was, if you recall, semi-artificial.
Had
the sun at one point when you guys came out, the sun was actually kind of singing, but now it's nighttime and it's kind of, fake stars. But she points up at the sky, and says, "No, it did get very unusual, very strange. There were all sorts of. Some people say they saw things in the sky when it happened, but the monitors have, the screens have all turned back to normal. It seems like so." You do notice, by the way, too, that in this night sky, there is no moon.
And is that normal?
Akaton would normally probably have... Akaton has, I think, two or three moons. And so you would probably see one of them. But there's no moon in this particular sky.
Huh. Wait, where... Isn't there usually a moon here?
Oh, the moon... The moon, you're not from here, so you don't know the story. I bet Manny will probably want to tell you herself.
Oh, okay.
And she kind of calls over to Manny, and this Shobad, this four-armed, another sort of Akatonian native, comes over, She's dressed out to the nines. It looks like she's kind of put on sort of her fanciest sort of clothes for this sort of block party. But she looks, you know, obviously muscly as hell. It's the way a lot of show bads are. They're very, very muscly, and they kind of have kind of like, you know, tusks and whatnot. But she comes over, you know, Joya calls over, and she's Manny, tell Starchild here why they call you Manny Moon Puncher. And Manny goes, she just sort of goes, I don't, you know, I don't like to tell that story.
Well, now I'm really interested.
Yeah. I'd like to hear it now.
My Brutaris team lost the finals, and I got so mad that I punched the moon. It's not much to tell. It's really not much to tell. And so
like
that's
the
why
the celestial body of moon.
What? Well, the moon. That like, sounds and she amazing.
She gestures up at the screen.
This is really quite not the story. Moon,
but the moon. And now that screen doesn't work anymore. And now you can kind of, if you look where she's kind of pointing, there's like essentially a giant dead pixel in the nighttime sky that just, you know, looks like it kind of blends in with the darkness of the night sky, essentially, right?
Well, that's actually really, really impressive.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, because how isn't the sky like how
it's way up there?
Way, right? Like,
yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, like that story is probably possibly apocryphal. You know what I mean? Like, how did she do it? You know, she doesn't go into any detail. She, as much as you pry into, like, how did you punch the moon?
She's like, how did you get up there? How did you
get up there? No answers. And it's like a sort of a local neighborhood legend, essentially, at this point. And it, you know, you kind of maybe get out of her that it happened, you know, a couple years ago.
Okay.
But now that's why everyone calls her Manny Moon Puncher. But she does make sure to says, you know, she come by my bodega at any time, and you know, maybe, you know, she doesn't quite say maybe you can get more out of me, but like if you come by, you know, she'll
chat. She's friendly. She's
friendly enough, indeed. Yeah.
Okay.
These people are all so friendly.
It seems that way.
I feel like I need to use sports lore.
Do you want to use sports lore?
I kind of sports do. Lore
do yeah. it.
Give me a sports lore
like
check.
I need to, since I'm a little.
And since you have it.
Since you have it, why not?
Oh, that was so close.
You're pretty sure it wasn't one of your team's losses. Because you maybe would have heard about that when, you know, right? But it would correspond to the time when you were playing Brutaris, I think, right? A couple years ago.
Okay, yeah. Well,
yeah,
I'm kind of wondering, since it's the end of the night, if I want to go ahead and star point that.
Oh, yeah, do a hero point on it. If you want to do a hero point on it, do a hero point on it. Sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, just the maximum, basically, you get.
Yeah.
Wow. Thinking back, like, it, you know, it was probably a championship game if you try to correlate the dates. And yeah, it was a big loss. A lot of people lost a lot of money. It was a big upset, essentially, right? And a lot of people lost a lot of money on bets and whatnot. So you could imagine someone might get mad enough to punch the moon if they lost like thousands of credits. Mm-hmm. But she's not saying either way. It's you can't quite pin it down, even with it, that particular role.
But do I recognize her? I mean, in terms of like,
oh, she's not. She's not a player. She basically is saying that her team.
Oh, okay.
Meaning her the team she was rooting for.
Oh, okay.
Lost the big team.
But the muscles threw me.
She's not a player, but she's like.
Right? She's not a player. Exactly.
She could play. She could play.
She looks like she could.
But in this case, she was a frustrated gambler.
Yes, it seems that way. It seems okay. Zostra. This half deflated ball that these kids are kind of like bounces up to you wherever you're at. Maybe you're getting a bit of food or just sort of hanging off to one side, being antisocial. It sort of kicks up to you. And then you can look over and all the kids are in the thing that are just sort of looking up and staring at you, a little afraid.
And so he kind of grins, flexes his claws a little bit just to get him a little more on edge. And then kicks the ball back to them with a fancy little flip and a kick.
Ooh, okay, yeah. They it kind of like bounces a little bit past them because they're kind of like staring at you a little bit in awe. and again a little scared, and they're kind of poking each other, and you know, this one human kid kind of like pokes someone, and then this Vesk girl, this little Vesk girl in a pink onesie, almost a tutu. As a matter of fact, I think I'm pretty sure this just looks like a tutu. Here, let me show you
a sports tutu though.
A sports tutu. It's a you know, a kid's. Yeah. You know, okay. She's got the leggings on underneath it too, right? It's a dress.
Yeah.
She kind of is kind of like comes back. She kind of marches up and like kind of like boldly kind of comes. She's like clear, like I'm not afraid kind of face on, right?
I'm a Vesk.
yeah, kind of like that, and you're just a potter, but no. She's like,
yes.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, I gave you your ball back.
No, yes, and the way you kicked that was amazing.
Oh,
could you help us
learn to kick like that?
No.
Something else then. Well, what is it?
Our pet Squawks is missing. Could you maybe find him? His name is Spike, and she holds up a collar that has.
Well, there's your problem. He's not in there.
Has the name tag on him? No, I know he's not. He's gone. He went missing when the stuff happened, and she kind of gestures at the sky.
Oh yeah, no, we went missing when that happened too, but we found ourselves. Didn't see a Squawks there though.
I hope he's not out of the neighborhood. I think, and she's kind of like. Reaches into a pocket and kind of like has a handful of like loose credits essentially and holds it out to you. It's like, we can offer you this if you can help us find Spike.
Oh, don't take it. Let's just do it.
You hold on to that. Maybe get a treat for Spike when he comes back. When we get him back. Where's the last you saw him?
She usually has a boyfriend at the bodega.
Spike does, yes.
Is named Rasputin.
Spike has a boyfriend at the bodega named Rasputin.
Rasputin, yes.
Well, he's a Squawks, too.
Okay.
Well, we're going to go to the bodega anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah. Wait, that's
bodega?
Right.
Manny Moonpuncher's bodega?
Yeah, Manny Moonpuncher's bodega. Yeah.
Oh, well, yes, look at Manny that. Squawks. All coming together.
Oh, okay. So you think maybe she might have run there?
It's mm-hmm. a he.
I think Spike's a she.
Spike is she.
Oh, she. Okay.
Yeah, I made that mistake as well, but, you know.
She's got red fur.
Okay.
And red a Squawks, fur. In case anyone wants to know, a Squawks is a kind of a cross between a squirrel and a fox.
Yep.
They're adorable.
I see. And answers to the name Spike.
Spike. Right. Yeah. That's right. Thank you, Mr. Oh. No, you want this too. And she hands you a little bag that says, basically just says Squawks treats on it.
Good idea. Are they tasty?
I don't know. No, I tried one once. They're bad.
Yeah. I don't blame you though. You know, you got to check.
But they're also made by McGurk, who makes the freeze dried pickle chips. So
these are beloved by Squawks everywhere.
Beloved by Squawks everywhere, yeah.
Across the galaxy. Pickled flavored, are they?
I hope not.
Of course they are.
No, I don't think so. Squawks would.
They do smell like they are pickled. They have a very vinegary smell.
So keep us from eating them.
That's funny.
All right. Well, where can what? Hey, what was your name, by the way? I am.
Oh, I'm Zaza.
Zaza. Well, I have to look my name up because I haven't used it so many times.
Zosra. Your name is Zosra.
I'm Zosra. Thank you. Yeah. Offstage person. I am Zosra. Where can we find you? In the neighborhood here?
Mm-hmm.
Zaskaran?
It would be the best. I tell you, if you can find Spike for us, it'll definitely make this. A happy birthday for me.
Wait, it's your party?
Mm-hmm. I had to postpone it, though, because of the... And she gestures up at the sky.
Oh, I know somebody that was going to help with it.
Wow.
They got lost with me.
You're smart and brave, and you can do it.
Thanks. Where were you in the hallway when I needed that kind of confidence?
She hugs your leg.
Okay, I pat her back.
And then totters off, yeah. And with the...
Guys, we got a mission.
The mission of the missing squawks. I think we'll end it for tonight.
Okay.
All right. Missing squawks.
Sweet.